I find it very interesting that the language of the Holy Spirit used in addressing the need to develop various attributes in our lives as Christians is quite specific. For instance, in Colossians 3 and 12, he says, "Therefore, as the elect of God and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, meekness, and long-suffering." Then in Ephesians 4 and verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in Christ, according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And notice these two verses have the words put on. You see that? Put on. What's he talking about here? What does he mean by put on? I would like to look at this other verse here before I go on to talk about the words put on. This is one of them that's very important to the lesson this morning, and that is, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. Now, the phrase put on is interesting. It carries with it the idea of clothing yourself. You put on clothes. And in this case, it's the idea of putting on Christ. It's as if Paul was saying, when you wake up each morning, remember to get dressed spiritually and emotionally as well as physically. That's what he said. Or when we wake up each morning, we need to be wise about the attitude that we choose or select to wear for the day. It probably would be a good idea to contemplate this in the morning and to think, what kind of an attitude am I going to wear today? You know, people, and I'm not going to say just women, but people put a lot of effort into choosing their clothes. And sometimes they'll put on several clothes and try them out, if you will, in the mirror before they decide what to wear. Well, spiritually speaking, I think we need the same thing. We need to look at ourselves and be sure we have what is appropriate on. And that is observing kindness as well as all these other attributes and behaviors in the selection that we make of our clothing for our spirit each day. Now, that brings up something very important. Paul says, be kind to one another. I want to talk about kindness this morning. I want to talk about what the word means and what we are obligated to do with regard to it. First of all, it is described as being love in action. And when you think about it, that aptly describes the word kindness. It is not something that is merely emotional. It is practical, it is visible, and it is active. It's not just an emotion you feel. Some people think kindness is just how you feel towards other people. It's not. It's the way that you practically treat and act towards others. And, you know, there's a saying that goes like this. And I can guarantee you it's a saying because nobody will take credit for it. Kindness theme song is finding the need and filling it and finding the hurt and healing it. Now, a lot of people have used that through the years, and if the internet didn't let me down, nobody takes credit for it. But it is certainly something that is appropriate for our lesson this morning. There, it seems to be an apt description of kindness. Thus, the command to be kind to one another is not merely to feel like being kind, but actually being kind. You see the difference? It's not just a feeling of kindness, but actually being kind. And we should appropriately look at the motivation behind this. Why should we be kind? I think that a lot of people look at kindness as being a risky thing. And they might understand that if we are kind to others, they might think, well, what do they want from me? Or why are they being so nice to me? Or what's in it for them? People are kind to maybe to take advantage of us. And I admit that there are some who take advantage of us. Yet God even faced a more of a risk of being kind. He took the He took the impetus to go ahead and be kind to man when man didn't have any intent of returning kindness to him. If we are tempted to stop being kind because someone abuses our kindness, what about God? A lot of people say, well, I'll be kind to him or her or whatever if he'll be kind to me. Well, what if God felt that way? What if God felt that way? Do you want God to withhold his kindness because of what others are doing or not doing about it? That doesn't make sense. The poet Robert Burns said that the kind heart is the heart that most resembles God. And that is really true. We should be kind because God has been so kind to us. On a daily basis, we continually benefit from God's kindness, whether we know it or not. In Titus 3 and verse 4, Paul says, when the kindness and love of our God and Savior toward man appeared. When did it appear? When did God's kindness and love appear? It appeared when Christ came to the earth. Man could see it firsthand. In Ephesians 2 and verse 7, Paul talks about the ages to come, that he might show his exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us. Now listen, in Christ Jesus. That's where God's kindness is seen. Kindness in Christ Jesus. But we don't have to look very far to see the need for kindness in this world. In a world where men and women can be lovers of self and arrogant and traitors, well, that sounds like something in 2 Timothy 3, verses 2 through 4, doesn't it? Over there, Paul says men will become lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Now, in a world filled with that, kindness is definitely needed. In fact, greatly needed and appreciated. We tend to forget that many of the people that we will encounter on a weekly basis have been on the receiving end of this evil that Paul said was going to invade the world. They've been on the receiving end. They may well have been raised by selfish parents, or they may work for someone who's unreasonable. Kindness will be like a breath of fresh air to them. In addition, Solomon exhorted his son in Proverbs 3 and verse 3. Let not mercy, now the American Standard Version says kindness, and it comes from a word that means both. Let not mercy or kindness and truth forsake you. What do you do with them? Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. What was Solomon saying here? Son, he's saying, you need to make kindness a part of yourself. You should emulate kindness in everything that you do. And in this particular passage, the idea that loving the truth and being kind are two indispensable qualities. Two indispensable qualities. But another aspect of kindness, and one that we don't think about, is that kindness is good for me. Now think about this. You personally benefit when you are kind. And I'm not just talking about people tending to be kind back to you. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not the thing. In Proverbs 19 and verse 22, what is desired in man is kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. What does it mean? What is desired? What people want to see in you is kindness. That's what's desirable. That's what's desirable. Proverbs 21, verse 21. He who follows righteousness and mercy, or again, the American Standard Version has kindness, finds life and righteousness and honor. What? Now let's look at this. Finds life, righteousness, and honor. That's the result of showing kindness and being kind. In Proverbs 11 and verse 17, the merciful, and by the way, this word merciful is translated 22 times as kindness. That's interesting. The merciful man or kind man does good for his own soul. But he who is cruel troubles his soul. Now you see the contrast there? You do good for your soul by being kind. But if you're cruel, you'll do nothing but bring trouble to your flesh. Now, let's just talk about, we got time here, let's talk about the elements of kindness. I think probably one of the keys to kindness is sensitivity. Now, people who are practicing kindness are aware of the needs of those around them. In Philippians 2 and verse 4, let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. Now, I want you to underline that in your Bible. Look out. Kindness starts with getting your mind off of yourself and your problems and notice what others are experiencing. You'll see that those who are not known for kindness are pretty much caught up in themselves. And it's easy to get that way. But he said, don't look out only for your own interests, but look out for the interests of others as well. Kindness starts with getting your mind off of yourself and your problems and noticing what others around you are experiencing. Often in marriage, we are totally unaware of what our partner's needs are. We become calloused. We stop listening. We are oblivious to the pressure that our mate is under. Simply stated, the root of many marriage problems is insensitivity. By the way, that's a quote from a book that I had. I thought was very interesting. Insensitivity. That's what kindness is. It's being sensitive to the needs of others. But, you know, something else that's important in this is being supportive, too. Especially, we need to be supportive with our words. One of the first places we put kindness into action is our speech. In Proverbs 15 and verse 4, the wise man wrote, "A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit." You see how important the tongue is in this. Proverbs 10 and verse 32. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked is perverse. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. They know how to be kind. Proverbs 12 and verse 18. There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. I think we can see that. We can see how kindness makes a difference. In Proverbs 31 and verse 26, the description in Proverbs 31 is of the worthy woman. This is the kind of woman that Solomon said is worthy of respect. But look at verse 26. Here's what he says about her. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. What is it that governs her speech? The law of kindness. When we realize how God has been towards us and how fortunate we are to be alive, how fortunate we are to be saved, it's easier for us to be kind with our words. When a person's not aware of their blessings, it's far easier to be cutting and hurtful with words, always running other people down. Why? We aren't settled within ourselves. A person like that needs to find out who they are and appreciate the fact that God has been so good to them and has blessed them in so many ways. And they need to learn the law of kindness. Another aspect is sympathy. I think we all understand that we often feel unqualified to help people who are hurting. And such situations when people are hurt are very awkward for us. But take comfort in this fact. They probably are awkward to everybody. You're not alone. Yet, kindness can express itself not only verbally, but also in a touch on the shoulder, a pat on the back, a tender grasp of the hand. Paul said that one of the qualities of someone who is the Lord's servant in 2 Timothy 2:24 is exactly that. But what this means is that the people who are spiritual take time for those who are hurting or struggling. Take time for them. But involved in being kind is also being straightforward. Sometimes kindness realizes that there's a need to be frank or candid. Telling someone the truth, or laying it on the line, or leveling with people, whatever it may be, is a demonstration of kindness. Solomon noted back in Proverbs 27 and 6, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend." What did he mean by that? Well, a friend will say things to you sometimes that will hurt your feelings. But they mean good by it. They want to help you to improve yourself. And so you're welcome those. Paul told the Galatians in Galatians 4 and verse 16, So have I become your enemy by telling you the truth? Now, Paul was being kind to these brethren over here. He was being kind to them. But for a moment, they thought maybe he was against them. An enemy. He said, have I become your enemy because I told you the truth? You know, there are times that we need to be forthright with what we say. Sometimes you need to tell somebody you're ruining your marriage. Or you're about to make a big mistake. That's kindness. That's kindness. Kindness is something that really cares. You would not say that if you didn't care. In the same book that I was reading from, he said, sometimes I want to ask couples in counseling when they are going to care enough and get mad and say, I want our marriage to work and I'm not going to put up with this mess. Well, that's kindness. That's kindness. Being straightforward does not mean offering a hit and run type of a comment. That's not what it's for. Kindness speaks up when it's necessary. But kindness will stick around and help the person to change. Be spontaneous. There are times that we can plan kindness, and we should. But there are times that the opportunity to be kind sort of arrives without any planning on our part. I don't suppose that the Samaritan on the road back in Luke 10:30-37 planned on this poor Jew being down there beaten up. He didn't plan on that. It just sort of happened. But he used that opportunity to be kind. He saw to his needs. Now, in order to be spontaneous, you must be flexible as well. But in addition, you must understand that it's now that we need to do these things. Now, Paul says in Galatians 6 and verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good, especially those of the household of faith. That means that kindness is an ongoing thing you're going to have to work on. Going to have to work on it. But don't put off an opportunity to say something kind or to write a kind note to someone and express your kindness. I want to tell you this. I know this for a fact. A common enemy of kindness is busyness. We're just too busy to be kind. And that's not something we should allow to happen. Take time for kindness. But there's always the person who raises the point. What about all the past things that this person has done to me? All these things in the past. And these things just make it difficult to be kind. Well, I don't think such an excuse as this will fly with God. I don't think so. For instance, I know that Joseph had a very difficult past with his brothers. I mean, let's see. They were going to kill him. Oh, they didn't kill him. They threw him in a pit and then they sold him. Do you think that he'd been wronged? Yeah, he'd wronged. But he was kind to them. Go back and read that account in Genesis 50. He was kind to them. Because kindness is what God wants us to show to one another. Somebody that you all know real well. Why did I leave that off? Oh boy. I must have gone to sleep before I finished the chart. Anyway,
fellow named Mark Twain wrote one time, "Kindness is the language which the deaf can hear and the blind can see." Now, I saw that on Facebook. I'll bear it's on Facebook. Okay. This past week. Okay. But I didn't know it came from Mark Twain. I don't believe that there was a credit given. But Mark Twain said that, and he is exactly right. When you are kind, it doesn't matter if people can see or hear, they're going to appreciate it. They're going to appreciate it. In Colossians 3 and 12, Paul says, "Therefore, as the elect of God, put on tender mercies." And listen to him. Kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering. Kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering. Remember this. Kindness is something you put on. Just like your clothes every morning. You put on kindness. If you're not being kind in the way that you speak to people and the way you act towards people, it's because you forgot to put it on. That's what's wrong. May God help each one of us, day by day, to put on kindness and let it be seen prominently in those around us as we go from day to day. Let them know exactly what kindness is and that we are kind. And you know, that just as a caveat, this is the way that we approach people and win people. We don't get it by being unkind to them. Believe me, it won't work. You get it by being kind. In fact, so kind that sometimes they go, "Is this for real?" Or, "Okay, what do you want?" They can't see why we are so kind. But we are, and we should be, and always should be. Take the lesson to heart, apply it to your life,